We're going to continue our time in fellowship with one another and worship of God as we turn our attention to His Word. And if you're a follower of Jesus, when we do this together, we're really inviting God to tell us how we ought to live, how we can be people who are actually following Jesus in how we live our daily lives. And if you're with us today or watching online and you're not a follower of Jesus, what we're going to do in this moment actually will help you to know what you can expect from the Christians in your life. But keep this in mind, none of us are perfect. And so whenever we approach God's Word, it tells us of the standard that we really want to aspire to and that we ask God to help us to move toward, and we want to continually be growing toward that, but we're not there yet. So the question for all of us is, what's our next step in living up to the standard that Jesus Himself has set for us, to the standard that His Word instructs us in, and that we get to fellowship with one another in growing in together as a community? Yeah, as Christians, we're called to two basic things. We're called to fellowship with one another as we worship God together as a community, and we're called to partnership with one another as we seek to make Him known in the world. And that's what we've been focusing on through August, is that element of partnership. How are we, with one another, reaching out and sharing and declaring the love of God in our communities that we're involved in here? And how are we partnering with those in other communities around the world to do the same thing? And we're going to look at a part of God's Word that speaks into that again today. So if you want to get a bit of an advanced time to locate it on your device or in your physical Bible, we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 13. But rather than looking at the Bible and then thinking about how we're going to apply it, we're going to look at some of the ways that we have been applying it and then see how the Bible actually speaks into what's actually been going on. Now, for those of you who aren't a part of our regular global reach giving and are familiar with how it's been working, we start in August and we focus on what God's been doing over the previous 12 months, and we prepare ourselves at the end of August to pledge for the next 12 months of giving to mission. And it's a kind of a weird year to kind of give from the beginning of September to the end of August. Like, who set that date? And it's a date that kind of makes sense for a number of reasons. One of those is that we get to support our partners in ministry for a calendar year. So we know by the time January rolls around, we've had a good sense of, okay, this is what we've pledged, and we've been able to get updates on what's going on with our partners around the world, and we've been able to pray and seek God's guidance and get all of the kind of the logistics in place so that by the start of the calendar year, we are ready to go and ready to support our partners in ministry in that year. Does that kind of make sense to you? I don't know how many of you have kind of thought, what's with this whole September to August thing? That's kind of what that's about. So who are our partners in mission around the world? This isn't all of them, because we've actually got quite a lot, but this is a good representation, and it's all of the ones who we regularly give to in terms of our global reach giving every year. So let me just race through some of the things that we as a church family get to participate so that you can be encouraged and that you can know, as you've been praying about what you commit to for the next 12 months, the sorts of things that you're committing to. I'm going to start right at the top with Anne Sophie Rowcroft. And if you haven't been around when we've shared some updates from Anne Sophie, I would really encourage you to sign up for her her newsletter directly so that you can get it straight into your inbox. If you want any information about what's happening in Global Reach, you can just email kingsleymissions@gmail.com and you'll get that info given to you. You'll get the instructions for that. So Anne Sophie Rowcroft, she works in medical ministry in Niger in North Africa. She disciples people, she trains people both in nursing and medical skills, as well as just building into their Christian faith and being an active member of her local church community. And we've heard reports back of just how incredibly strenuous her work is. And we are so privileged that we get to encourage her and pray for her and support her financially in what she's doing in that region of the world. She's having an amazing effect, not only in people's physical well-being, their emotional well-being, but also in their spiritual well-being. And we're so proud of what God is doing through her in that place. Going around clockwise, we've got Global Mission Partners, and that's the official Churches of Christ in Australia global organisation that works with partners around the world, particularly in India, Fiji, Zimbabwe and other places, particularly in the Pacific region, that's planting churches and training leaders and doing community development work and responding to emergencies when they arise and all those sorts of things. They work on our behalf to do that, and we're really proud to be able to link with them. Within Australia, they do a whole whole stack of work among Indigenous communities. And as we prayed about just a little while ago, we are exploring getting more involved in what GMP is doing here in Western Australia as we partner with the church in Norseman. And we're pretty excited about that. Then we move on to youth care, and we have chaplains dotted around our schools. We've got 5 schools in the Kingsley area. We've got Woodvale Secondary College, and we've got 2 schools in Woodvale, and then there's the schools over here on the Kingsley side. And we get to support our local chaplains, and we're ramping that up this year. Chaplaincy has become increasingly complicated. And you see what's going on in society, you see what's going on in families and in communities. You're aware that for staff and families, for the students of schools and their families, there are some pretty complex things that chaplains are facing. And so as we seek to increase our support, we don't want to just be tipping money into kind of the pot that supplies their wages. We recognise that chaplains actually need a lot of input because they're giving out all the time. So one thing that our church is going to do this year, and we're just kind of working out with youth care exactly the logistics of that, is we're going to pay for Christian ministry supervision so that chaplains have somebody confidential to talk to about what they're facing in their school environments, and they get to have some biblical, prayerful, spiritually mature input into what they're facing. Because it can be a really lonely ministry. And as a church family, we want to make sure our chaplains know they're not alone. They've got a whole community of people supporting them. And they also have some very specific professional help as they need it. And that's a real privilege that we get to do that this year and support that through our giving. We continue to be involved in the Philippines. And Pastor Renoboy regularly sends updates about what's happening as they train young people in ministry. There's been a lot of that happening this year. There's been a lot of home Bible studies happening. We've seen people come to faith and being baptized as they declare their faith in Jesus as their Savior. And that's an exciting thing that we get to be a part of as well. The next one around the corner is new partnerships. Well, we had to print the brochure up before we actually launched that, but if you were here 2 weeks ago, Compassion came in, and you know that there's a new project in Indonesia that we are able to be a part of, together with churches from around Wanneroo and Joondalup, who are working in one area, the island of Sumba. And already we've got 31 Compassion children at the moment that we know of. We don't know of all of them, of course. But there's 31 children who are sponsored by people in our church family. 8 of those are located in Sumba. And I believe at least another 3 are in the process of being sponsored. And so we're really looking forward to in future being able to take trips over to that area of the world to meet some of these families that we've been sponsoring and to do other kinds of community development work through Compassion. And Compassion is just really, really well set up to make an incredible difference, not only in this life, but in the life to come as they work through local churches in that region. So we're pretty excited about that partnership as it develops. As we continue to move around the world, we've got Operation Christmas Child. Now, this one represents a whole bunch of different things that we do at different times of the year. Operation Christmas Child is a very practical way to reach out to people with the message of Christmas, which is an amazing message. And as we give gifts to children who may have never received a gift like this before in their lives and explain why that gift is being given, as we partner with churches in those regions, we have an opportunity to share and declare God's love in a very practical way. But we also do things like Safe Water September and Bibles for Persecuted Christians around the world. There are plenty of ways that we get involved in projects seeking to make a difference with the love of Christ. And those things come up in our calendar every 1 or 2 years as we move through them. Another of our regular partners is Dane and Celeste with Health Communication Resources. Based in the Midwest, they live in Geraldton and travel throughout the Midwest and Gascoyne region. Again, just working with communities, seeking to practically help in the community development space through radio, through training, through health initiatives. But primarily, they're trying to support Christians and build them up and give them a voice into their local community, trusting that as they do that, they'll also have an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Further around the world, we moved to Sam and Penny, and again, we had an update from them recently. They live in a part of the world where they can't actually openly share their faith in Jesus and the work that they do, and so we have to be very careful about that. But they're seeking to support people who have become Christians in a place where you're not allowed to change religion. And so therefore, your life, your freedom, your financial security, everything is at risk if you now declare publicly that you are a follower of Christ. Well, Sam and Penny seek to come alongside these people and to link them together where they can pray and be taught and trained in how to follow Jesus. Guys, we take our fellowship with one another maybe a little too much for granted sometimes. In parts of the world, where Sam and Penny work, that is just such an amazing gift, to have people who are seeking you out and helping you to grow in your faith in Jesus. And we get to support them in that amazing task. And then finally, we have the Nyanga North Mission Team. And you heard David share earlier this morning. And the latest project that they are embarking upon is this project to provide medical help to their whole region. And as Christians in that place seek to mobilize local communities, we get to walk alongside them and be a part of that happening. And I'm just thrilled that we get to be a part of that. I'm actually going to now hand over to some other people who are going to speak into our global partnerships and share what it was like to actually go to Nyanga North and to see what's going on. And for those of you who've been around for a few years, you'll remember that we participated in another project, in helping establish what's called the Mothers Feeding Project, to feed children who are coming to school. Do you know, when that got started, they were able to feed a handful of students by raising chickens themselves in their own homes, selling them and using the money to buy food. Now, as we've enabled them to upscale that operation, they're feeding over 400 kids twice a week. They'd like to continue that growth to feed them more than twice a week, but at least on those 2 days, I think it's Tuesday and Thursday at the moment, those kids are getting a fantastic lunch that's enabling them to focus more on their education, which I think is marvellous. So Rumbi and Charmy got to go over and be a part of that, along with their friend Jade, and so you're going to see a little bit of Rumbi and Charmy's reflections on that trip.
What were you expecting to experience when you went to Zimbabwe?
Well, I had never been before, so I was a little bit, I had no idea of what it would look like. I just heard stories of what it was like from obviously you and the family, and so I came in with no expectations. I just knew the different places we were going to go to and the different activities we were going to do, but I had no expectations of what it was going to be like. So. It was very eye-opening. It was obviously very different to what it's like living here. From the get-go, even living in, obviously, my grandparents' house, just from, you know, showering with a bucket of water or not having lights all of a sudden, like, that's very different to, obviously, what it's like in Australia. And then, obviously, going to visit other places, where we were going to the orphanages and we're actually seeing the children who were going through poverty. It was a shock to me because the only people I've seen going through anything similar is, you know, homeless people in the city here. So it was a complete shock. But what I didn't expect was to see people who were going through so much who were still so happy, even in their circumstances. So that was just, yeah, crazy to me. My experience was sort of being reminded, because, you know, I have seen the poverty. I have seen, you know, the struggles that people have because I grew up there. But I think I was sort of jolted back to reality because I had forgotten exactly what a struggle it can be. So the electricity going and all that is something that I experienced, you know. However, you know, going back and seeing that was a bit of a jolt. You know, I had to snap back to, you know, reality, really. But I think, like you, it was also very confronting because the joy, the absolute joy that people have there, despite what they're going through, was amazing to me. I think, you know, another thing that was so amazing to me was You know, there was a church that we visited because we had an opportunity to walk around and drive around to the different churches within Nyanga area, and specifically this community, Ruangwe, where we're from. And it was just amazing to see a church that doesn't have a building, and they actually congregate on this big rock. And you know, the singing is beautiful. There's no guitars, there's no drum, it's literally voices on this rock, and just joyful, so joyful in what God means in their life. So it was one of my fondest memories, and a memory that I think I'll cherish. It's not about the building that you're in. It's really about the people who you're interacting with, the community that you're a part of, and knowing that, you know, you're one in Christ. So I think that was, that had a lasting impact on my life for sure. Yeah.
I guess it just taught me to look outside of myself and my situation, and realizing that I could be worse off. Especially the first couple of months coming back, some of the issues that other people were facing around me, just, it sounds bad, but didn't seem as real anymore, because I literally was seeing people in a really bad place. So then it kind of pushed me to realize that some of the things that I go through are not as serious, and that I should be thinking about those people a little bit more, because I honestly wasn't thinking about, besides, you know, the people you see here on stage coming and talking about missions, or you know, when you walk through a shopping center and someone tells you about someone who's going through something, like, because I had never thought about it, I wouldn't say cared, but it didn't hit me in my heart. But after that, after seeing it in person, it's more personable to me. So yeah,
I think the impact for me was just the reminder of where I actually am from. And, you know, the reminder of what my people go through. And just, you know, thinking, I've been put in this sort of situation. You know, I grew up in a privileged situation, which is why I was able to come to Australia. But then, you know, I now realize that I'm here and shouldn't forget where I'm from and the people who, you know, made me who I am, and that I need to give back to that community. And God has blessed me with the opportunity to be in a country like Australia, so that I can look back to, you know, the people who love me and who I love, and what I can do, you know, to, you know, share and declare the love of God with them. So it was quite, you know, a moment of being reminded about what I need to make sure that I think about, you know, through my prayer, through my activities day to day.
Even when we were going to the different orphanages, and I was walking around in Converse and like new Nike jacket, and then seeing the kids not wearing anything, and they were still so excited to be there, but I was like, what am I giving, or what am I doing to help at all? They're excited to see me, but I haven't brought anything. And then, yeah, it just makes you think about that stuff.
Yeah, I definitely encourage, you know, everybody to at least once in their lifetime have the experience of going into a different culture, experiencing how people live, what makes people joyful, what makes people tick outside of the culture that we're living in here. And it's not only about going to see their, you know, the poverty they're living in or the struggles, but to actually see the actual people, the human beings, to sense, you know, their love for God, to sense their love for life despite whatever their circumstance is. And, you know, it's a fulfilling experience, and it's an experience that will change your life 100%. I think, you know, when we went with Jade, and Jade had, you know, traveled already and had that experience. But even her having that experience with, you know, within Zimbabwe, which was a different culture to what she had been, she certainly, you know, shared that she walked away with something, you know, different, and the love that's different for Zimbabwe. So, you know, I really would encourage everybody to, you know, think about a trip that's coming up, you know, and go, and just go. Yeah.
And then at least you like know what you're giving towards, yeah. And know what's actually going to be there on the other side once you get there. And you can actually visualize the people who are there as well. So, yeah. I think it's the greatest thing to happen, just because I saw what the medical facilities were like there, and they weren't all great, or they were really far away for someone who was in a real medical emergency to get there. So I think it's really important that they have another clinic or something where people can get the health service that they need, because it's actually really important. And they're going through so much physically, they don't have the same living situation that we have, just a normal home, normal bed, normal house. So it's probably even more important for them to have a clinic or something to go to. So yeah, I feel like it's a good thing.
Yeah. I think my reaction is just feeling really proud of that community. You know, when we went and we saw what they were doing with the Mother's Feeding Program, and how much of that work was actually initiated by them, done by the community, you know, and we just played, you know, a part of uplifting and, you know, doing the final things that they really needed financial assistance with. But so my reaction to the clinic is, you know, just being so proud of the fact that, you know, I'm from a community that looks at a problem and, you know, thinks how are we going to solve that problem. You know, they, you know, rally up the community and, you know, they get going and do the best that they can with what they have. I don't know if a lot of people know, but you know, in Nyanga North, the community, you know, got together to get the bricks together, to look for sand, to look for all the things that they needed to be able to build the kitchen for the feeding program. And so the money is for the things that then they can't get naturally. They can't make the bricks. You know, they need to get roofing and things like that, which they then need to, you know, have some financial assistance with. So to see the walk years later, now we're actually talking about a clinic, has been amazing. I think my reaction really is that of pride and amazement, and just being so grateful to God that, again, despite the, you know, their circumstances, these beautiful human beings do the best that they can with what they have, with such joy and such faith in what God is going to provide. And I also feel proud to be a part of Kingsley, because then they're, you know, partnering with these people who are doing the best they can, and then Kingsley, you know, helps to get them to exactly where they need to go. So it's a very exciting, I guess, thing to witness. You know, we thank God for that. Absolutely. Thank God.
So that was some reflections that were recorded about a week ago from Rumbi and Charmi, and you can see the difference that it made in going. And so we've really been highlighting over the last couple of weeks the way that partnership comes out of relationship. And when you actually know who we are partnering with and get a sense of who God has created them to be and what he's already doing in their circumstances and the blessings that we have in knowing them, then partnership becomes a real important part of your life. It's just not, oh, another giving talk again. Now, this is exciting. This is where God is changing the world. and we get to be a part of it, which I think is really cool. This verse in Hebrews 6 is really cool as well. It says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. As we journey with our partners in sharing and declaring the love of God in so many different ways around the world, with so many different needs and so many different opportunities, but as God directs us in that, it's nice to know that God is paying attention to that. And this is not the only verse that speaks into that. Again and again and again in the Bible, God talks about the fact that he cares about how his children treat one another and help one another in doing what he's called us to do in the world. And this isn't kind of a recipe for getting ahead in life. So it's not saying, okay, well, if I want God's blessing, then what I need to do is, you know, I'll give a bit of money here and I'll support that, and then God will make sure that I, to give is more blessed to receive because you get more back, that kind of idea. Well, God actually knows the heart, and he's not about to reward selfishness, and he's not about to be manipulated by that kind of silliness. But when you are somebody who shares the heart of God and just loves people and loves to give, then the promise of God is that what you will receive in return will far outweigh what it is that you have invested of yourself. Later on in the book of Hebrews, we're just going to spend a couple of minutes looking at these verses, which kind of explain what we've already been hearing and seeing. What is it that drives that? Where did it come from? And again, we could go to any book of the New Testament and read about this. Here's one that I really like out of Hebrews chapter 13, which says this: keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. And remember those who are in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. This is getting toward the end of the book of Hebrews, and the author is just listing out some very practical things that he wants to encourage these Hebrew Christians to be doing in their lives. And so just to very, very quickly get a sense of what some of these things are that he's encouraging them to do. Let's break down a verse at a time. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Just a reminder, and we've been focusing a lot on this, so we won't recover this ground, but partnership, what we actually do, comes out of relationship. It comes out of a sense of, you know, this isn't a project. This isn't something about me easing my guilty conscience as somebody who has a lot and feels bad about the people who don't have so much. No, our giving actually comes from the fact that we know people and care about people. And sometimes that means that it's because we've been able to physically go. Sometimes it's just that we take the time to learn about them through receiving information, by communicating via email or WhatsApp or letters or whatever it might be. But we take the time to invest in seeing one another as brothers and sisters. It's a relationship that drives partnership. That's true in a church community where we get to see each other physically regularly, and what a blessing that is. And it's true in our global partnerships as well. Keep on doing this stuff. Let's keep going deeper in our love. May we never get to that point where we are so wrapped up in our own individual lives that we don't care about the people God's called us to journey with regularly, and we don't care about the people that God's called us to partner with internationally or regionally. Let's keep our hearts soft in our love for one another. You know, life is so much better when you don't let your heart become hard, but when you're actually open to the journey of relationship with people that God has in mind for you. He continues to encourage them with this next verse, verse 2, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. So we have relationships with people, and we want to keep on loving the people that God has connected us with, but when new people come across our path, what are we being encouraged to do? To entertain them, to show hospitality toward them. To treat strangers as though they were family. When it talks about do not forget to entertain strangers, it's not saying, okay, take them home and put on a concert for them or something like that. It literally just means, hey, treat them as family, look after them, care for their needs. It literally comes from the word to love the stranger as though they were a part of your family. And the cool thing about this verse is we can kind of read that and go, well, that could be awesome. Maybe if I see somebody I hadn't met before, maybe I meet them down the street, maybe they rock along to a church service or something, and I invite them home and have a meal together, maybe that might be an actual angel, somebody who looks human in appearance but is actually a heavenly being, and maybe I could even have that person in my house. What an awesome story that would be. And that tends to be how we read that. But remember who this letter was written to. It was written to Hebrew Christians. And he says, don't forget this. So what is it that they were likely to remember when it came to somebody entertaining angels unaware? Well, their minds are going to go right back to Genesis chapter 18 and 19, story of a man named Abraham and a man named Lot. And in Abraham's case, these three guys come up to him and he welcomes them in and shows them hospitality, makes them a meal, treats them as part of his family. Except they weren't human beings. Two of them were angels, angelic beings, who were in the form of humans, but actually were not humans like you and I. They just appeared that way. The third was even more unusual. This was a pre-incarnation appearance of God the Son. And it's called a Christophany, where Jesus, as we now know him, came into the world, took on human shape, God the Son, in order to do something very, very special in this interaction with Abraham. He came and announced to him that despite being childless, right into very old age, that he would have a son and that he would actually be the father of a whole nation. And through that nation, all the other nations of the earth would be blessed. So as Abraham entertained these strangers, suddenly he found himself caught up in God's good purposes for the world. And he discovered that he had a role to play. He got to be a part of the story of how God was going to overcome sin and suffering and death and rescue us and bring us into his eternal kingdom. And by entertaining these three guys who had walked along the road in front of his tent, Abraham got to be caught up in the wonderful mission of God. Do you want that kind of experience? Who knows what God might do as we are open to the people he is bringing into our lives? It's a pretty cool thing to be a part of. Lot's story is a little bit different. Lot was living in a place called Sodom, and Sodom was about to be destroyed. God was about to judge Sodom for its wicked behavior by raining burning sulfur down on them. And why was that going to happen? Well, we read a bit more about it in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, verse 49 to 50. Where in this passage, God is actually telling off the citizens of Jerusalem for their behavior, but he likens them to what was going on back in Sodom many, many years earlier. Now, this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters, so it's talking about cities, whole communities of people, as though they were like one female person. So when it talks about she, it's talking about the whole city of Sodom. When it talks about her daughters, it's talking about all the different communities that kind of were part of like a city-state kind of arrangement. So she and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. Therefore, I did away with them, as you have seen. And if you're familiar with the story of Genesis 19, as these two angels go into the town, they're treated really wickedly. In fact, the men of that town want to be sexually abusive toward them. And Lot not only welcomes these men in and treats them as family and looks after them, not like what was going on for the rest of the population, but he also protected them from being caught up in this really abusive, sexually immoral thing that the guys in that town wanted to do to them. And so as we look at Sodom, there are those two things that God is judging them for, yet Lot was saved. By welcoming these strangers in, he had the opportunity to escape the judgment that was being poured out in his whole community. And there's a great picture of righteous living for us. We too need to look out for the poor and needy, and we too need to do something about the rampant sexual immorality and just the warping of God's design for men and women that is wrecking lives in our world. And in doing so, in paying attention to these things and caring and acting about them, we too get to separate ourselves from where the world is headed and the consequences of all those things, and escape the judgment of God on that stuff. And that's a huge topic, and we will explore it more in September, I'm hoping. But nevertheless, Lot, in this story, we see an example of how by being open to who God brought into his life, it actually changed the direction of his life. He was able to escape from Sodom. Those angels led him out, and he did not receive the same judgment that the rest of the city came under. So as the author of this letter reminds these people, hey, don't forget to entertain strangers, because in so doing, You, like Abraham, might be caught up in God's purposes and his mission in the world. Or you, like Lot, might be being given an opportunity to stop going down the same path that everyone else around you is going down and to allow God to redirect your life and to save you from the consequences of going down the path of the people around you. Who knows what God might do in your life as we are open to the people God connects us to and brings into our lives. So the focus there is not on the whole angels part. The focus is on what God does as we show hospitality and are open to treating strangers as family. Does that make sense? Sweet. The last verse is this one. And remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. So in this great advice which is being given to these Jewish Christians as they seek to live out their faith, one, hey, keep on loving the people that God has created you to be family with. To be open to those new people that God brings into your life and treat strangers as if they were family. But three, don't just let it be about the people who you are already connected with and are in relationship right now. Remember those who have been taken from you and they've been plonked in prison. Remember those who might be, for example, in that culture, they might be slaves in households where they're being mistreated. There are all kinds of situations that people might find themselves in. Don't just continue on with your life and forget about those people. Keep them in your heart. Keep them in your mind. Pray for them. Minister to them. And remember what Jesus told us about how to treat one another? Treat others the way you'd like to be treated. So I'm a part of this church community here. If I was to, for example, go off and serve in another part in the world, you know what, I would love for you guys to remember me and pray for me in what I was doing over there. If I found myself, as there is a very real risk in different parts of the world, in prison for my faith, I'd want to know that you guys are praying for me. If I found myself facing hardships of any kind, I'm really confident, because I know you guys, that you're prayers would be with me and you would do whatever you could to help out, because that's the kind of love that God's put into this community. And that's the sort of thing that we're being encouraged in here, to remember those who are in prison, which at that time in history, in the place that they were living, was a very distinct possibility, as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. If you were going to think of a place in the world that needs this kind of awareness and doesn't need people turning their backs and forgetting all about them, where would that be at the moment? There's probably a few answers. Afghanistan's the one I think of straight away. And I wonder what this principle might mean for us. It might mean, for example, contacting your local member of parliament, say, hey, we don't want to turn our backs on these people. How's our refugee program going? What can we do there? And maybe it's a case of contacting agencies that are working in that part of the world and saying, you know what? Maybe our military's had to pull out and some of that stuff is gone, but there are still some people there. And there are people we can support and pray for and resource to do some good work for those who are left behind. Who knows how God might direct you, but this is what we're being called to. Let's not forget people. Let's not leave them behind. Let's be prayerful and let's be active in our support and treat others the way that we would like to be treated in that situation. So we've been talking a lot about going over recent weeks, and you heard some reflections on that just a few moments ago. And as I've said numerous times, it is about going physically. It's such an awesome experience if you're able to do that, and I'd love for you to keep that in mind as you think about your future, both in Western Australia, where we can travel at the moment, and internationally when we get those opportunities. There is nothing like being present with people personally. But in the meantime, there are so many other ways that we can actually take our hearts and our minds and be present with people and united in spirit with God's people around the world. So let's be the people who do that. And that connection that we are able to have as we go physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, in our awareness, in our communication, all those sorts of things, that connection that we have, that relationship, will drive our giving and our praying. So I'm going to pray again. How many times have we prayed today? It's almost like we enjoy that. It's fantastic, isn't it? It's nothing better than to know we've got a relationship with God and we can approach his throne of grace with complete freedom and confidence, knowing that he hears us. So we're going to pray for God to be continuing to work through our partners around the world, but we're also going to pray for him to move us in our spirits as we, whether it's through the online form that you see the link to on the screens, whether it's through the physical forms that are in the foyer, as we pledge ourselves to the next 12 months of giving, we want to make sure that we're doing that in an open-hearted way toward God. And please don't feel in any way compelled or guilted into contributing to our global reach. God's in charge. He knows your circumstances. He knows the needs of our partners. But he also loves, as it says in 2 Corinthians, a cheerful giver. And we reap what we sow. And if we want to have a life which is lived in the joyful alignment with God himself and the people he's called us to do mission with, then it's always going to require something of us. So let's embark on that with faith and with hope in what God will do as a result. So will you bow with me in prayer as we close this part of our time together? God, as we have been thinking again about our global reach, Lord, it's just so great to even touch on some of the amazing partners that you've connected us to in relationship. We are so proud of them, and we are so privileged that we get to be encouraged in our faith and in our obedience by seeing their faith and obedience. And we're so encouraged that what we do to support them really does make a difference in their capacity to serve you and share and declare your love in all of those communities that they're doing it in. So God, as we think about that, we think about the pledges that we are making as a church community for the next 12 months of our financial support of these partners. We heard last week particularly about the difference that it makes knowing that those resources are there. So God, would you help us not to just put it off and, oh yes, I need to pray about that some more. Lord, would you help us to just have that sense of being open to you and of acting on that conviction that you give us, of declaring our love for you and our love for our partners and our love for the people you've called them to reach in the way that we commit ourselves to give. And God, as we do that today, Lord, I pray that you would be honoured, that you would be able to look at the attitude of our hearts and know that your kingdom is the most important reality in our lives. Lord, we pray that not only would you be honoured, but that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this we pray as your children who have been called into your kingdom through your glorious grace. We are so thankful that you paid the price of our salvation. And we are thankful that you've called us to invest in the salvation of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.